This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. All praises are for Allah. We praise Him. We thank Him. We ask Him for His help, and we ask Him for His forgiveness. We seek refuge with Allah Ta'ala from the evil of ourselves and the evil of our actions. Whoever is guided by Allah, then no one can misguide them. And whoever is misguided, then no one can guide them except for Allah Ta'ala. I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his final messenger. I'm about. First of all, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome, dear sisters. Alhamdulillah, that Allah Ta'ala blessed us with seeing another Ramadan. Subhanallah, how many people they thought they're going to make Ramadan, but Allah did not write it for them to make it for this Ramadan. So we ask Allah Ta'ala to bless us in this glorious month, inshaAllah, and may He help us to increase as much righteous actions and deeds as we can, bi'idhnillah. So dear sisters, this is the month of mercy and blessing, the month in which the doors of Jannah are opened and not one of them is closed, the month in which the doors of the hellfire are locked and chained and not one of them is opened. And it's the month in which the shayateen, the devils, are chained, subhanAllah. So the person finds it easier to strive for the hereafter, for the akhirah, and to get closer to Allah Ta'ala. And as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, that in every night there are people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees them from the fire. In every day and night of Ramadan, there are people who Allah Ta'ala, He frees them from the fire. These were people that, subhanAllah, due to their deeds, you know, their sins, they would have been destined for the fire, but due to their sincerity of fasting Ramadan and their striving for the sake of Allah in this month, that they gain the pleasure of Allah and His forgiveness. And so Allah Ta'ala, you know, makes them from those who are saved from the fire. May Allah make us all, Ya Rabbil Alameen, from those who are saved from the fire. So subhanAllah, dear sisters, we have to realize how huge is this blessing of Ramadan. You know, if we look at this dunya, like think about your life, you know, you think about this dunya, it's full of problems, full of, you know, fitna, full of sadness, full of hardships. We're surrounded by all of this around us that weakens our iman. So that's why when Ramadan comes, it's a time for us to escape from our problems, to escape from this fitna of this world, to escape from the hardships of this world, and just turn ourselves completely with our hearts to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, this is the season of ibadah. The month of Ramadan is a season of ibadah that's coming to you. Just like you have different seasons of winter, summer, autumn, spring, this is the season of ibadah, the season of worship that comes to us once a year. That, you know, inshallah, we want to take the maximum advantage of this season. And you find, subhanAllah, when this season comes, everybody around you gets affected. Even the normal people who, they're not really that usually focused on their religion, but when Ramadan comes, subhanAllah, you find it's like a season that affects everyone. Everyone's affected by the season, and you find them all, subhanAllah, suddenly turning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, suddenly going back to the Quran, suddenly coming back to prayers and coming back to the mosque. So this is a beautiful thing. It's a perfect time to make real changes in your life, you know, because you've got that complete motivation around you. So subhanAllah, this is as we come to Ramadan covered with our sins. You know, we come to Ramadan, our hearts full of sins, our hearts, you know, they're hardened, our hardened hearts, subhanAllah, from all the different things we've been exposed to all year. So we have to realize that, you know, our goal for Ramadan is beyond the fasting and the prayers. The goal for Ramadan goes beyond the fasting and the prayers. Rather, it's to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through those fasting and prayers. So subhanAllah, Allah ta'ala, you know, He's calling us in the Quran. He's calling us in the Quran to come back to Him. He wants us to come back to Him.
He says, يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانُ مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ. O human, O people, what is deceiving you from your Lord? مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ. What is it that's taking you away and keeping you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So this is the time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially in the month of Ramadan, we want to turn our hearts back to Him and realize what is the reality of this life. Become free yourself from all of these distractions of this dunya. You know, free yourself from whatever, you know, other distractions you have around you, and just focus yourself on your ibadah. Like I always say, take a holiday from this dunya. Take a holiday from this dunya and just focus yourself, inshallah, as much as you can on your ibadah, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So, dear sisters, many times, you know, as sisters, as women, we sometimes feel a little bit delusioned when it comes to Ramadan, because we have great plans. Before Ramadan comes, we have great plans of all these things we want to do. But due to our heavy schedules, you know, we have a lot of responsibilities of looking after our husbands, of maintaining our households, of running after our children. So all of these things can derail your, you know, your goals for Ramadan. And sometimes you feel like you're not really achieving what you want out of Ramadan. So that's why one of the topics I want to speak about today is how to perfect your fasting for Allah. How to perfect your fasting for Allah. Because very often it's not necessarily about the quantity of things you do, but rather the quality. And the quality can be enhanced and increased all by what? All by ikhlas. All by the intention. Okay, so you might do a very small deed, but it becomes so huge in the scale with Allah, all because of your sincere intention for Allah. So this is what you should be focusing on. Maybe you can't do a great deal in your day because of your heavy schedule in looking after your children, trying to look after your household, but don't underestimate the small little acts of ihsan that you can do with, you know, whether with your husband, with your children, with your sisters in Islam, with your relatives. Don't underestimate those small acts of ihsan that could be huge in the scale with Allah, all because of those sincere intention. Even just a smile in the face of your sister, subhanAllah, that you did for the sake of Allah. So don't underestimate any act in this month. Like, strive as much as you can in whatever way, whether it's helping a sister, whether it's a kind word to cheer up a sister, to make her happy because she's down. Don't underestimate any small deed that you can do for the sake of Allah. But the most important thing is to have in your heart from the very beginning that, you know, subhanAllah, you want to do this for the sake of Allah. You're doing these acts to please Allah in this month. You want Allah, you know, you want to reach a high level in your fasting. And some tips on how can we, inshallah, you know, get, like, how can we get the most, you know, blessing, inshallah, in our day of fasting, is first of all, from the very beginning, if you want to really, you know, feel Ramadan from the very beginning, is to as soon as you wake up in the morning, put in your heart from the very beginning that you want to live this day for the sake of Allah. That your intention in this day, in every day of Ramadan, when you wake up, put into your intention that, Ya Allah, I want to live this day for your sake, that everything I say, everything I do is for your sake, trying to please you with everything I do and say. So that way that everything you do, even normal habits, inshallah, Ya Rabb, it can become an act of worship for you, as long as you've got the intention behind it that it's to please Allah. So even when it comes to your daily household duties that you find mundane, you find boring, like you've got to clean your house, you think, I'd rather be reading Quran right now, but I have to get up, I have to vacuum, I have to clean my house, I have to cook the food for iftar. And sometimes you feel like a bit, like, how can I say, jealous even, because, you know, you see, for example, maybe the men or the family, they're all sitting down reading Quran. Oh, what are you up to in the Quran? Oh, I've already finished 20 juzah. And what are you up to in the Quran? I've only done one, because I'm busy doing the house, I'm busy looking after the children. So sometimes you can feel a little bit, you know, what's the word, jealous, deprived, that you're not doing as much as someone else. But the way to overcome that, inshallah, is just by putting your sincere intention, even in the small things that you do. Like the ulama said, that even daily habits become acts of ibadah by their intentions. So if you make, you know, for example, you're going to wash the dishes, you're going to cook the food for your family. So you put into your intention, you say Bismillah, for example, before starting, because Bismillah, when you say Bismillah, you're asking for the help of Allah in what you're doing, and you're asking, and by you saying Bismillah, Allah puts barakah in that action. a lot with barakah in that action. And you want in Ramadan to be in a state of barakah at all times and places, as much as you can. Okay, we want to try and get ourselves in a state of barakah in all times and places in Ramadan, inshallah. Because when we're in a state of, when Allah is pleased with us, this is when Allah's forgiveness and rahmah is coming down on us. So we want to try as much as we can Ramadan to get ourselves in a state where Allah is pleased with us and His mercy and forgiveness is descending upon us, inshallah. So that's why all throughout your day in Ramadan, keep on questioning yourself, is what I'm doing now, is it pleasing to Allah? Am I gaining reward by what I'm doing? If the answer is no, then change your act. Do something else. You know, go to something else that does bring the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or change that act, if it's possible, into one that is pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so try to, for those of you who are very busy, you know, increasing your dhikr of Allah, astaghfirullah, 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 like making a lot of istighfar, because we know that istighfar, it polishes the heart. The istighfar, it polishes the heart. Like, tawbah purifies the heart. When you sit down by yourself, you know, alone, calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by His beautiful name, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Ya Ghafoor, Ya Tawwab, you know, Tuba Anni, Oh Allah, purify me, Oh Allah, pardon me, Wa Afu Anni, you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to purify you, and you're thinking about your sins of the past. You know, you're purifying your heart by asking Him to forgive you for those sins of the past, and you're reflecting upon them. But besides that, there's also istighfar, that maybe you're not thinking about a specific sin, but you're just saying astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah with your the dhikr of your tongue. And by that, even by that, you're softening your heart and you're polishing your heart as well. You're polishing the blackness from the heart, you're polishing the hardness from the heart. So this is what we can be doing while we're you know, driving the kids to school, or we're, you know, cooking our food or whatever we're doing. So we try to keep ourselves in a state where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with us, but even in that. So start each day, like I said, with the intention to live this day for the sake of Allah. That everything I do or say is for His sake. And you want the pleasure and forgiveness of Allah in whatever you do. And then another way to get the barakah in your day is to start with the Qur'an. Straight after Fajr, if you can sit and read the Qur'an, this puts barakah in your day. This puts blessing in your day. You feel your day is blessed due to you starting the day out upon the Qur'an. Okay, so these are some of the ways of getting the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so we have to realize, what is our, like we were saying in the beginning, what is our ultimate goal in Ramadan? Our ultimate goal goes beyond just fasting and just those prayers. Our ultimate goal is to get close to Allah through our fasting and our prayers. So how does a person get close to Allah? How does a person get close to Allah? It's not something mystical, it's not something like secret, it's something very straightforward, which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us about it in a hadith Qudsi, in a hadith in which he says that Allah has said in Bukhari, narrating as Bukhari, for Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, مَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِ بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا افْتَرَدْتُهُ عَلَيْهِ, that my servant does not get closer to me by anything which is more loved by me than what I have made obligatory upon him. وَمَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ. So my servant continues to get close to me by optional and voluntary acts until I love him. So our goal in Shalom Ramadan, okay, people's fasting, people's Ramadan is of different levels. People's Ramadan is of different levels. You have some people who, subhanAllah, like, they think Ramadan is just about giving up food and drink and, you know, the marital relations. That's what they think Ramadan is. So the rest of the Ramadan, like, but during the day, they're just talking, laughing, going shopping. Like, it's no difference to their normal day that they would have the rest of the year. So this is one level of fasting. And the next level is those people who, like, they guard their fast, they stay away from food and drink and marital relations, but they're also careful not to fall into anything haram. Like, they're careful to guard their tongue from falling into haram and from doing forbidden actions. And the next level is they're doing all of that, but they're also striving. They're trying to read a lot of Quran as much as they can, doing the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a third level. And then the highest level is those who their hearts are completely focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the akhirah, in everything they do or say. And this is like a higher level where they reach a level of ihsan in their fasting. They reach a level of ihsan in their fasting. And this is what we should be trying to aim for if we can. It's the highest level of worshipping Allah. Ihsan is the highest level of worshipping Allah. And the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he defined ihsan that it's أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. That it is to worship Allah as if you can see Him. And even if you can't see Him, then you feel that He can see you. So you've got to develop that feeling in yourself, in your day in fasting, feeling that whatever you're doing, it's as if you can see Allah in front of you. As if you can see Allah in front of you. And even if you can't get to that level, you know Allah is watching you in everything you're doing. So by that, this is how we reach a level of ihsan in our fasting. But we have to realize that, go back to this hadith, that to reach that level, what did the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tell us that Allah said? He said that you can't get close to Allah except by firstly fulfilling what Allah has made fard on you. So, like someone who wants to get close to Allah, if they're not praying their five prayers on time and they say, I love Allah, I want to be close to Allah. Okay, like inshallah, by saying astaghfirullah, of course that's a step forward towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if your goal is to really get close to Allah, if your goal is to really come close to Allah in Ramadan, then you have to take it by order of priority of what Allah has told us. And that starts with the fard prayers. The fard prayers, getting those in order, making sure you pray your fajr prayer on time, and you're praying all your other prayers on time, and preferably in the beginning of their time. Because like the Messenger of Allah told us, أفضل الأعمال إلى الله, like from the most loved deeds and best of deeds to Allah, is a salatu ala waqtiha, that the prayer in its time. This has a higher reward. Like when you pray your prayer in the beginning of its time, that has a higher reward and it's more love to Allah than if you delay it and pray it later. So for Ramadan, we're trying to maximize our deeds. So this is the ways you can do it. Like you might be busy with your other things, but at least try to maximize your deeds through these simple things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger has told us about, you know, whether in the Quran or the Hadith. So step one to get close to Allah in this month is looking after our prayers and paying attention to our prayers and trying to, you know, concentrate more in our prayers. Like, look at our prayers, look at the state of our prayers during the year. Be honest with yourself. How many times we stand before Allah and our heart is thinking about other things? Our heart is distracted with what we've got to do after the prayer or our problems. We're thinking about everything else except the prayer. So let's try to make it our goal for Ramadan that when we stand before Allah, we really fight with ourselves to keep ourselves focused on praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and concentrating on the words we're saying and seeking nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through our prayer, bi-idhnillah, and try to have khushu' in our prayers and have humbleness and humility to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our prayer. This should be our goal, bi-idhnillah. So as we're saying, if we want to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this month, which should be our ultimate goal to reach high level, inshallah ya Rab, in getting close to Allah, then number one, we have to look at the wajib things, you know, the obligatory actions which Allah has made obligatory upon us. And once we've fulfilled those, now we can continue getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bin nawafil, with the voluntary actions, other things that are like sunnah things that Allah loves it if we do it, but we won't get a sin if we don't do it. So this is what we should be trying to concentrate on doing. Okay, so from the things we need to, obviously, number one, the best way to get these huge rewards in Ramadan is to focus on perfecting your fasting. It's a simple thing. Just try to perfect your fasting. Like maybe you can't do all these other actions that other people are doing, these other acts of ibadah, But you can perfect your fasting. It's right there with you, right now. Like you're fasting, you perfect your fasting for the sake of Allah. So how do you do that? Well, first of all, how do you do that? Is what how the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us in the hadith in Bukhari, narrated by Abu Hurairah. From the keys to it is to guard our tongue. Number one is to guard the tongue. That is the main downfall of the fasting person, the tongue. Because at some stage, your emotions come in, someone talks about someone, someone gets you angry, and your tongue loses control and you start saying something that decreases your reward. Like backbiting, lying, swearing, all of these things, they don't nullify your fast. They don't break your fast. But what they will do is decrease your reward. Okay, and we, you know, as we said, people's fasting is at different levels. And people's, depending on your level of fasting, this is the level of your reward with Allah. So you want to try to aim for the highest level as much as you can. Try to aim for the highest level of fasting. And if you look at this hadith I was referring to before, which mentions about how my servant does not draw near to me, except, you know, my servant doesn't draw nearer to me by anything which is more loved by me than the fard actions, the obligatory actions. And then he continues to draw nearer to me by the nawafil. But then what is the result of that? It's mentioned in the hadith that Allah says that when I love him, I become his hearing with which he hears, and his seeing with which he sees, and his hand with which he reaches, and with his legs with which he walks. Now what happens is that when a person reaches a high level of ihsan, where you're worshipping Allah as if you can see him, and even if you can't see him, he can see you, is that you get yourself in a state where you don't want to look at anything except that Allah is pleased with it. And you don't want to listen to anything except that you know Allah is pleased with it. And you don't want to say anything except that Allah is pleased with it. And so that everything you're doing in your day is only what Allah is pleased with. And this is what Allah is mentioning in this hadith, that فَإِذَا أَحَبَّهُ كُنْتُ سَمْعُهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ, that when I love him, I become his hearing with which he hears. So that Allah is guiding you. What does it mean, this hadith? It means that you don't listen to something, you don't look at something, you don't listen to something, except Allah is guiding you and helping you to restrain your glance from looking at anything which Allah is not pleased with, which could decrease your reward for your fast. So this is why we want to try to aim, like I said, to reach this level of ihsan in perfecting our fasting, inshaAllah. So the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as I was going back to before, he said, whoever does not give up false speech and acting upon it and ignorant behavior, Allah is not in need for his food and drink. And even another narration, he mentions that a person could get nothing for their fasting except hunger and thirst. So this shows you that, yes, a person can be fasting, but it shows you that by doing acts, you know, saying words that displease Allah and sins, things that Allah is not pleased with, whether it's backbiting, whether it's lying, whether it's swearing, abusing someone, getting angry, losing our temper, all of those things are going to decrease our reward. Having an argument with someone while you're fasting, all of those things are going to decrease your reward for your fasting. So you've got to try and aim at only saying the good and only having ihsan, like I was saying before, with everyone around you as much as you can. If you want to maximize your reward, inshallah, for fasting this month. So let's go back to what I was saying before. So this is how we perfect our fasting. So try to develop ihsan, try to develop the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in everything you're doing. When you go to take wudu, don't just stand there and do it as a habit. Think, inshallah, you know, you're doing this for the sake of Allah. Bismillah, I'm taking this wudu for the sake of Allah, to please him. Everything I want to do in my day in fasting, I'm doing because I want to please Allah. I want to draw near to Allah through whatever act I'm doing. When I go to sleep, I say Ayat al-Kursi because I want to please Allah in what I'm doing, that I remember Allah upon sleeping. When I wake up, I say a dua, you know, Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana ma abad, ahyana ba'da ma amatina wa ilayhi nushur. Like thanking Allah for waking me up and giving me another day in this world. So remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, starting my day upon the remembrance of Allah, going to bed, so you know, waking up with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, going to sleep with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you go to sleep for the sake of Allah, you wake up for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you're living your days and nights for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This should be our aim. And then that's having ihsan with Allah, and then having ihsan with everyone around you, like I was saying before. Try to bring happiness to the people around you. Like we see that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ سُرُورٌ تُدْخِلُهُ عَلَى Muslim. That the most loved deeds to Allah is to bring happiness to another Muslim, to bring happiness to the heart of another Muslim. So keep that in your mind. Just cheering someone up, making someone happy, saying a kind word, smiling in someone's face. You can't imagine how great is that reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And especially when you're fasting, then it's multiplied for you, bi-idhnillah. And we see the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How did the Sahaba describe the Messenger of Allah when he's fasting Ramadan? That he became ajwad bil khair min arih al mursila. Like that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was fasting, he became the most generous. He became the most generous in rushing after the good deeds and rushing after the khair and the goodness. Even faster than a wind that brings good. Like the wind that brings the rain that's gonna be plentiful to the earth. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was the most generous of people. But when it came to Ramadan, he became the most generous of all people. Already he was the most generous of all people. But when Ramadan came, he became, subhanAllah, the most generous in rushing after all kinds of goodness. Even like as if he was like a wind. So this is how you should try to be. Try to be in Ramadan, spreading the khair wherever you go. When you see a sister, spread the khair, remembering Allah, reminding her of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being friendly with her, having good manners, having good akhlaq, having, you know, subhanAllah, smiling in her face, cheering her up, you know, with your husband, same thing, trying to make your husband happy, smiling in his face, which we don't do enough. Try to be happy with let people feel, wow, mum's different in Ramadan, you know, she's happy in Ramadan, she's different in Ramadan. Try to give that feeling of Ramadan, that everyone loves Ramadan, because mum, I love mum in Ramadan, she's... So subhanAllah, so you know, this is the way that, you know, we were saying before, that we often feel like we're deprived, we don't have enough time to do all the things we want to do, but by perfecting our fasting, this is one of the best ways to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this month, and to get the highest levels, inshallah, of fasting through this intention, bi-idhnillah. Okay, so let's move on. So we spoke before about... the other thing too, obviously, is another thing I should also mention too is be aware of wasting time. Be very aware. Always, you know, reflect, as I'm saying, each day, reflect on yourself. Make sure you're not falling back into old habits, because, you know, all year we do waste a lot of time. We do waste a lot of time. So try to keep on track. Keep accounting, keep calling yourself to account each day, looking at yourself and making sure you're not slipping back into wasting time. Keep yourself on track. Keep pushing yourself forward. These are, like as Allah says, أَيَّامٍ مَعْدُودَاتٍ. Like they are days, they are counted days. They are counted days. And you know how fast Ramadan goes. Look how many days has already gone. And you'll see. Before we know it, we'll be sitting here talking about Allah accepting our Ramadan. This is how it is every single year. So you have to make the most of these days and realize that every day is gone. In every day and night, was opportunities to get the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To get the forgiveness of Allah was in every one of these days, to get His mercy and His forgiveness. So every day that passes by, that's one day gone. You can never get that day back. It's gone. You'll only see it on Yawm al-Qiyamah, when it's opened for you on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and you'll see what you put into that day. Think about every day in Ramadan as a day you need to invest in. Just like you might have containers that you put things in, like you might have a container for sadaqah, for example. Think about every day in Ramadan as like a container for sadaqah, that I need to put as much as I can into that day, bi-idhnillah, so that inshallah on Yawm al-Qiyamah I come and I find it, bi-idhnillah, full, at least to make up for the rest of the year, of all the, you know, negligence we have, and, you know, the ghafla, the heedlessness, may Allah protect us. Okay, so don't let yourself waste your time. Like I said before, try to be in a state of blessing always. Like, even as a dua, you can say, Allahumma ja'alni mubarakan aynama kunt. Oh Allah, make me in a state of barakah wherever I am. This is based upon the ayah in which Isa alayhi salam, he says in Surat Maryam, waj'alni mubarakan aynama ma kunt, like that he's asking Allah to make him mubarak, make him in a state of blessing wherever he is. So you can say the dua, Allahumma ja'alni mubarakan aynama kunt. Oh Allah, make me in a state of blessing, in a state of barakah wherever I am. Because you know when you're in that state, bi'idhnillah, that means that inshallah Allah's sending down, you know, you're getting the blessing, you're getting the forgiveness and mercy of Allah when you're in that state, bi'idhnillah. Okay, so the other thing we need to focus on, besides perfecting our fasting, is perfecting our prayers. This is a simple way of gaining high levels of reward through your fasting, by focusing on your prayers, trying to get khushu', like I said. And then after that, because the thing is, our prayers should affect us. If our prayers were really affecting us, we wouldn't be falling into the sins that we're falling into. The fact is, if we were really praying in the way that Allah has commanded us or wants us to pray, then we wouldn't be falling into the sins that we're falling into. But the fact that our nafs is weak and we keep falling into the sins that we keep falling into, it shows us that there's something still not right with our prayers. We haven't reached the level of khushu' that we need to reach in our prayers and concentration. Because why? Because Allah says, Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. That the salah, it forbids from the fahsha' and the munkar. It forbids from the sins and the fahsha' and the evil deeds. So if we still see ourselves falling into sins, falling into the disobedience of Allah, we can say to ourselves, the first thing we should look at is our prayers. There's something deficient in our prayers still. We're not really focusing on Allah in our prayers. We're not really seeking Allah through our prayer. Because if we were, and we really reach a level of ihsan in our prayer, then how could we step out of our prayer and then lose that ihsan straight away? How? And how does a person who's got ihsan fall into sins and disobedience of Allah? So it shows that the only way we fall into sins and disobedience is we're in a state of ghafla. We're in a state of heedlessness. We're not thinking about Allah in the next life. Okay, so this is why. By improving and enhancing your prayers, this will enhance your ta'atillah. It will enhance your obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah. Besides that, so that's talking about the fard things, the siyam and the salah. They're from the fard actions of this month. But then we have the nawafil in this month. Alright, so we talked about how we have to fulfill the fara'id, the obligatory acts, if we want to get close to Allah. So we try our best to perfect those as well. Not just fulfill them and get them ticked off, but try to perfect them. And then after that, we move to the nawafil. And from the nawafil is what? The tarawih. The praying the tarawih at night. And the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, من قام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبي. Whoever stands during the night of Ramadan, hoping out of sincere iman and hoping for the reward and forgiveness of Allah, then his previous sins will be forgiven. So this is why we don't want to miss out on this chance of getting the forgiveness of Allah in this month. This is another of the doors that Allah has opened for us to get his forgiveness in his month. So the first way is what? Through sincerely fasting for the sake of Allah and trying to perfect your fasting. And the second way is by spending your nights praying. Not the whole night, especially like what your approach should be. Like we said, like last week, we're talking about how is Ramadan. Ramadan is the race of the mu'mineen. Ramadan is the race of the believers for the maghfirah, for the forgiveness and the ridwan of Allah, right? So the way to be, if you want to really do well in this race, the best way is not go crazy in the beginning of it. Like if you look at a famous athlete, what do they do? The successful athletes, what do? They start when they go for a very long race, they start out on a moderate pace. They don't burn it all out in the first round. Okay, so the way you start Ramadan is on a moderate pace. So you're fasting your best, and at night you're praying your prayers as much as you can. We'll come to that in a minute. But then you sleep and you have a rest at night as well. But then when it comes to the final rounds, which is the last 10 days, that's when we put all our focus and effort. And that's what you see the famous sprinters, what do you want to call them? Yeah, famous sprinters or, renowned athletes, that's their approach. Like you'll see them, they take a moderate pace, but then when it comes towards the finish line and it comes to final laps, that's when suddenly they put the full gear on. And this is what we should, this is our approach for Ramadan. So right now, you're not exhausting yourself, all right? You're just taking a moderate pace with your worship. You're enjoying it. You're trying to enjoy it. Like, you don't need to, sisters. You don't need to go to the mosque that has the most, like, that reads the most Quran. You do not need to go to the mosque that reads the most Quran. That might not necessarily be the best thing for you. If you want to, what did we say in the beginning? We want to seek nearness to Allah through our prayers and fasting. We want to feel khushu'. We want to feel the love of Allah through our prayers and feel close to Allah. So, really, you know, the best approach for most people is not going to be praying the most, where they feel like it's so much for them, they feel really, really tired, they're not even focusing on their prayer anymore because it's too long. So go for a moderate, go somewhere where they're reading a moderate amount of Quran, where the reciter has a nice voice, where you can actually enjoy the recitation, and it's not too much for you. You enjoy praying, you love it, you enjoy praying and standing in front of Allah. This is the more sensible approach in the Ramadan. Then when it comes to the end, that's a different story. If you want to pray more and you want to exert more effort in the last 10 nights, that's a different story. But now, for the beginning of Ramadan, don't use up all your energy in the beginning of Ramadan and then you find you've got nothing left for the end of Ramadan. Because you save your energy for the end of Ramadan. You need that energy. You know, like, you know when you, like most of you had babies, right? You know when you're going to give birth, what do they tell you? Don't do anything too much before you give birth, like just before you're about to give birth, because you need energy for the birth, don't you? You need all that energy. If you go like running around outside, like doing too much walking and stuff like that, you end up not having enough for the birth. So save your energy for the main event. The main event is the last 10 nights. Save your energy for the last, you know, for the final event. That's more important right now. So now you should be just trying to enjoy your fasting, enjoy your recitation of Quran during the day, enjoying your standing at night. Make yourself, you know, really love it and enjoy it. This is what my advice be in that. Okay, so let's move on and talk about the other thing we should be focusing on. So we talked about praying at night. The other thing we should be focusing on during the day is Quran. Because we said, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ. So the month of Ramadan is the month in which Allah revealed the Quran. So the main priority for us during the day is to try to recite as much Quran as we can. Now, the important point as well with the Quran is that we want, as much as we want to, you know, recite the Quran, and our aim, inshallah, for those of us who are fluent in Arabic, should be trying to recite the whole Quran by the end of the month. That should be like the minimum of our aims for those of us who are fluent. Because we know that the righteous Salaf before us, then when Ramadan came, they used to leave a lot of their lessons, and they would actually, the main priority was given to the Quran. So many of them would finish reciting the whole Quran every 3 days in Ramadan. Okay, and you know, so this is how much the priority they used to put towards reciting the Quran. They would spend maybe their whole time just staying in the masjid reciting Quran as much as they can. Okay, so this should be our main priority. But at the same time, we need to realize that this Quran was revealed as a shifa for what's in the sudur. Like it was revealed as a treatment and a healing for what's in the hearts. And we know that we come to Ramadan, subhanAllah, may Allah forgive us, we come to Ramadan with sick hearts. We have sick hearts. Whether we like it or not, we have sick hearts. Like, all year our hearts are exposed to fitan. All kinds of fitna and sins and dunya, our love for the dunya is so great. All of that is a fitna in the heart, you know? So we're in the greatest need for the cure of the Quran. For the Quran to cure our hearts in this month. Like Allah says, وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءُ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. That we have sent down from this Quran that which is a healing and a mercy for those who believe. So we need to come to this treatment. We all need this treatment. We need to come to this treatment. We need this cure in our life. We need to turn to it. We need to open up our hearts and seek the treatment from this Quran. So how do you do that? You know, first of all, if you want the Quran to treat your heart, then the first thing you need to do is empty your heart out from anything else. Put aside your problems, put aside, you know, anything that you need to do, right? And just open your heart towards the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And make yourself feel this Allah is speaking to you. This is Allah, He's speaking to you. And in every single word, and in every single ayah, there is a lesson and something that Allah wants to teach you. So every time you read an ayah, you need to be asking yourself, what does Allah want to teach me with this ayah? What does Allah want to teach me? What should I learn from this ayah? So I'll give you some examples of this. Through reading the Quran, we should, in our heart, we should be having the hope for the forgiveness and mercy through reading the words of Allah, and also hoping for Allah to cure our hearts, and for Allah to treat our hearts, and purify our hearts through reading the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so the way, if you do this, if you read the Quran in this way, you'll feel you live with the verses. You live with the verses rather than you're just reading them and you don't really pay attention to what you're saying. So, how do you do this? First of all, when you read the verses of Jannah, when you read the verses when Allah is telling you about the Jannah, think about the beauty of Jannah. Think about, subhanAllah, the happiness of Jannah, the peace of Jannah. In Jannah, sisters, you never hear anything that makes you feel sad. You never hear anything that disturbs you. You never get tired in Jannah. There's no aches and pains in Jannah. Like, subhanAllah, as we get older, we start to get aches and pains. We get tired, we get sore backs, we get sore legs. Sometimes we can't sleep from our pain. But know that in our Jannah, there is no aches and pains. Never again will you have someone come to you and tell you something that makes you sad in your heart. How many times do people let us down in this dunya? How many times people hurt us? But subhanAllah, in the Jannah, there's no more of that. You'll never be hurt again by anyone. You'll never feel sad. Imagine that. So this is what we should be thinking about. Complete and perfect happiness. Like in this dunya, dear sisters, yes, you can feel happy, but it's never a perfect happiness. There's always something missing. It's never the complete. Like you feel very happy, but it's never a complete happiness. There's always something not going to be perfect with it. SubhanAllah. But in Jannah, it's a complete happiness. That there's no deficiency in that happiness. And trust me, think about the happiest day in your dunya right now. Think about a day when you were extremely happy. Think about a day when you're extremely happy. A day when your heart was just filled with happiness. Imagine that in Jannah, the happiness you'll feel in Jannah is something far beyond any happiness you've ever experienced in this dunya. You've never been happy in this dunya in the way that inshallah, bi-idhnillah, you'll feel happy in the Jannah. May Allah not deprive us from that happiness and the greatest happiness, and may Allah not deprive us from it, is looking at the wajh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, looking at the face of Allah in the Jannah. This is the greatest reward the believers will be given. It's greater than anything they'll be given in the Jannah. From all of the na'im and all the blessings and rewards that you'll be given in Jannah, but the greatest reward is to see Rabbul Alameen, to see Allah in the next life. This is the reward that, like subhanAllah, I can't even imagine the ecstasy and the joy of looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next life. May Allah not deprive us from it. So subhanAllah, so imagine Jannah, like when you're reading these verses about a Jannah, think about the beauty. No matter how beautiful this dunya is, think about the most beautiful place in this dunya. Maybe you've gone to a beautiful park or a beautiful scene that you've seen. Nothing, yani that is nothing in comparison to the beauty of a Jannah. It's nothing. Allah just created that to show you the level that he can create, but what he has for the mu'mineen in Jannah is something that far surpasses anything that you see. This is deficiency in this dunya. It's all deficiency. It's all an illusion. It's all a temporary abode. Like it's all just a la'ab and lahu. You know, it's all just amusement and play. It's not the real thing. It's not the real thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept for the mu'mineen. In al-Jannah, may Allah not deprive us from it, inshallah. So when you read the verses of Jannah and you think about that peace and you think about that beauty and you think about that happiness, then you want to ask Allah, Ya Allah, Allahumma, for example, Allahumma rizqni bi Jannah, you know, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-Jannah, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-Jannah. Ask Allah, like when you're reading the verses of the Quran, and you get to the verses of Jannah, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the Jannah. Make dua. Don't just like read the Quran. Stop and make dua from time to time. And ask Allah, Ya Allah, do not deprive me from the Jannah. Ya Allah, I ask you for Jannah. Ya Allah, Allahumma inni as'alik al-jannat al-firdaus al-a'la. I ask Allah for the highest of Jannah. The Messenger of Allah said, when you ask for Jannah, ask for the highest of Jannah. Ask for the firdaus, because it is the highest part of Jannah, and it's the middle part of Jannah. It is the best part of Jannah. So don't just ask, like have high ambitions with Allah. Have high ambitions with Allah. Don't just ask for Jannah, ask for the highest part of Jannah, inshallah. When you have high ambitions, this will cause you want to act in accordance with those ambitions. Okay, when you have those high goals, you have those high ambitions, it will push you to want to move and work and strive, inshallah, to achieve those high ambitions, bi'idhnillah. And then when you come to the verses about the fire, we should fear from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from that fire. That fire is real. That fire, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, that it is more hot than, you know, subhanAllah, it is like 69 parts added on to the fire of this world. So this, the fire of this world is only one part. Okay, so imagine how hot can the fire of this world be? It can be extremely hot. It can melt iron, right? But yet, no matter how hot that fire is in this world, the fire of the Jahannam is that much, and 69 of that much added onto it. That's how hot is the fire of the Jahannam. Which, subhanAllah, we know that it's not only the disbelievers who's going to enter the Jahannam. It's not only the munafiqeen who's going to enter the Jahannam. That even from the mu'mineen, even from the believers, there'll be those who enter the fire. But why do they enter the fire? To purify them in order to enter the Jannah. Because nobody can enter Jannah in the state of sin. So you have to be purified one way or another. Think about that, sisters. Wouldn't you prefer to purify yourself in this dunya than to be purified in the next life? Wa'udhu billah. Of course, yani, there's another way too. Allah can also pardon you. Like when you come on Yawm al-Qiyamah with your sins. Allah, by His mercy and rahmah, He could choose to forgive you and you might not enter the fire even with that state of sins. But we don't want to take that risk. It's better for us to try to purify ourselves now while we're in the dunya by making tawbah, by making a lot of istighfar and striving, especially in this month of Ramadan, striving. Think about when you're standing at night praying to Allah, or you're fasting during your day and you're having a hard time with the kids. Think about that you're trying to save yourself from the fire of the next life. You're doing this to strive to save yourself from the fire of the next life. You need to ransom yourself. You need to give to Allah and show Him your sincerity in order for Him to have mercy and rahmah upon you to save you from the fire of the next life. So think about it like that, to purify yourself, inshallah, in this life before you meet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next life. So getting back to what I'm saying, you know, when you think about that fire, none of us can bear to be in that fire, even if it's only for one moment. Even if we have to be purified in that fire only for one moment, who can bear it? When we're cooking food for our husbands or for our family, and subhanAllah, we get burnt, like sometimes the oil comes on our hand. We can't even stand the small burnt on our hand. So who can bear the fire of the next life, which its intensity of heat is to the level I just explained? No one can bear it even for a moment. That's why when we read the verses of fire, let's take this opportunity, especially in Ramadan, to ask Allah, Allahumma qina min adhab an-nar, Allahumma qina min adhab an-nar. Oh Allah, save me and protect me from the fire. Ask Allah when you're reading the Quran. You come to ayah of the Quran about the nar, remind yourself of the nar. You couldn't stand it. So Allah, save me from the fire. And at the same time, when you're in your prayers and you're in your sajda to Allah, like when you're praying Taraweeh or you're praying your fard prayers, ask Allah to save you from the fire as well. Allahumma qina min adhab an-nar, Allahumma qina min adhab an-nar, Allahumma qina min adhab an-nar. Ask Allah. This is the way you can get more khushu'. By doing this in your prayers, by doing this when you're reading the Quran, this is how you have more khushu' when you read the Quran, and more khushu', inshallah, when you pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. And then besides that, when you read ayat about the disbelievers, or the ayat about, you know, the ayat about the munafiqeen, or you read ayat about the Jews and Christians, what is the lesson Allah is trying to teach you? Okay, what is the lesson that Allah is trying to teach you? Allah did not mention these characteristics about the kuffar, or about the munafiqeen, or about the Christians and about the Jews to entertain you. This book was not sent as an entertainment. This book was sent as a maw'idah, as an admonition, as a warning and a reminder, right? So it's, the Quran was sent as a reminder and a warning. So you're supposed to learn something. When Allah is talking about the Christians, that they did this, or the Jews did that, or the munafiqeen have got these attributes, and the kuffar, they do this, you've got to ask yourself, what is Allah teaching me to not be like that? Don't do those actions that Allah is mentioning in His book. Don't do those actions. And then you come to verses where He says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe. So He's talking to you now. He's commanding you. So think, how much have I lived up to this command? How much have I fallen short of this command that Allah has commanded me? Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, in ja'akum fasiqum binaba'in fatabayyanu. So Allah says in the Quran, Surah Al-Hujurat, for example, O you who believe, if a fasiq comes to you with the news, fatabayyanu, make sure of it. Don't just believe it straight away. How many times do we fall into the sin of backbiting? Because someone told us something and we go spread it and it wasn't even true. We didn't even make sure, not that we should spread it anyway, but we didn't even make sure it's true. We believed it straight away. So how many times? So when we come to these ayat that mention the commands, Allah's commanding us, this is where we should make tawbah. We should make tawbah. We should stop reading Quran for a minute and say, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Ya Allah, forgive me for the times I've backbit someone. Or, you know, any of the other ayat which Allah is commanding us, ask yourself, how much have you lived up to these commands? And how much have you fallen, or, you know, when He's forbidding you from something, ask Allah for forgiveness for things you've fallen into that He forbade you from doing. Okay, so finally, okay, so we're talking about ways to get close to Allah. So we said, let's try to aim to reach ihsan in our fasting. Reach ihsan in our fasting through what? Through perfecting our prayers, through perfecting our fasting, okay? Through nawafil, such as our night prayers, and reading Quran during the day. And then, of course, don't forget charity. Don't forget charity. Don't forget sadaqah for the sake of Allah, because sadaqah is something that it wipes the sins. It erases the sins. And Allah says in Surah Al-Baqarah, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You will not reach a high level of righteousness until you spend what you love. Okay, so we will not reach a high level with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until we learn to spend what we love. So subhanAllah, the way that the ulama described, like when the Sahaba mentioned about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he became like more, you know, so generous in the khayr, rushing after the khayr, more than a fast wind that's bringing abundant rain, okay, is that subhanAllah, you should be trying to, you know, rush and seek after, like, trying to, you know, spend for the sake of Allah in a way that, like, you don't fear being poor. Spend and be generous in Ramadan to the level that you don't fear being poor. You don't fear poverty, in other words, by your spending. So just how much you're striving with your sadaqah. And like we said, sadaqah isn't just with money. Sadaqah is even in actions. Sadaqah is in, you know, striving and spending with your time, striving and spending with your energy, helping others. This is sadaqah, you know, but being generous in general, like trying to break people's fasts, you know, like by feeding, fasting people. This is from the best of deeds in this month. So these are all of the ways that we can, inshallah, try to reach a level of ihsan through our fasting in this month, bi-idhnillah. There's a lot more, you know, we can talk about, but this is just, we can say the first lesson, which is an introduction into Ramadan, and we're just focusing more today on how to perfect our fasting, which we want to aim at now. So, like we said, just try to, you know, as women, we're busy, try to aim. Don't think so big. Think about simple, but think about perfecting it. Alright, think simple, think small, but think about perfection. Alright, so think about perfecting your fasting, perfecting your prayers, trying to fit in as much Quran as you can, trying to pray at night as much as you can, You don't need to pray in the mosque, dear sisters, to pray Taraweeh. You can pray in your houses. You don't need to pray all of the 11 rak'ah if you can't. You can pray even 4 rak'ah, you can pray 6 rak'ah, but just don't let the night go by that you don't invest something into your night. Like we said, remember we talked about the sadaqah container? Every night, just invest something in your night. Every night that goes by Ramadan, every day that goes by Ramadan, make sure you've invested something into that night, you've invested something into that day. Don't leave any of these nights of Ramadan or any of these days of Ramadan except that you've invested something in it. That inshallah on Yom Qiyamah, when your book of records is open to you and shown to you, you see the investments that you put forth in this world. This world is the planting ground for the Akhirah. This world is the planting ground for the Akhirah, and Ramadan is the season to strive inshallah in planting, in striving in that planting ground as much as you can. It's Ramadan. It's a month of competing with one another in righteousness and khair. So as the hadith, there's a hadith that mentions the hadith. I'll finish off with this hadith, inshallah. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us that when the first night of Ramadan comes, the gates of fire are closed and locked, and not a door of them is opened. And the gates of Jannah are opened, and not one of them are closed. And a caller from the angels calls out, O seeker of the khair, go on and go ahead. O seeker of the evil, stop what you are doing. And every night of Ramadan, there are people who are freed from the fire and saved from it. And that is until the end of Ramadan. So in every night, we need to ask ourselves, what have I done today to save myself from the fire and to earn the Jannah of the next life? May Allah have His, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us in this month. May He make us from the successful in this month. May He shower us with His mercy and with His forgiveness in this month. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve the suffering and the distressed from amongst this ummah, wherever they are. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower His blessings upon them and comfort their hearts. And, subhanAllah, find a way out from their trials and hardships wherever they are in this world. وَقُولِ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَسُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمْ يَحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ.